From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of September, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us from the farm there in Windsor, Illinois, and agmarket.net to discuss the cash grain situation. I'll update you very quickly on the weather forecast, and we'll hear a review of the updated crop budgets that Gary Schnitke talked about earlier in the week with us and how those have changed during the month of September for highly productive soils in central Illinois. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today finished a nickel lower at $3.63.5. The March at $3.72.25, down 5.25. And May corn 5.25 lower at $3.77.75. July $3.81.5 down a nickel. And December of next year 4 cents lower at $3.83.25. November soybeans $10 even, down 14.5 cents. January at $10.03.25, 15.5 lower. The March down 16.25 at $9.97.25. And next year's November at $9.46.25 in the beans, 9.75 lower. The bean oil, 33 cents lower at $32.36. The bean meal, $3.33.80, down $8.30. Soft red winter wheat, July contract up a quarter at $5.61. The hard red at $5.07.5, down one for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago, October, 87.5 cents higher for 100 pounds at $108.02.5. Feeders up 45 cents at $142.45, and lean hogs elite option $69.47.5, 2.5 cents lower. Dan Zwicker now joins us from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to talk about the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. We had a couple of down days in the soybean market. Is it just taking a respite, or is this something larger in perspective?
We don't know for sure. The market was terribly overbought, looking at the technical indicators. So it was ripe for a round of long profit taking. And then when you combine that with the calendar, that we're not only coming, we're looking at the end of the month, we're looking at end of the quarter. And it always gets a little tricky going into the end of the quarter because a lot of managed money, you know, position themselves for quarterly reports and whatnot. So, and when I looked at my, you know, timing indicators, all kind of indicated that the September 15th was the midpoint of a broad band for an important high to be made on both corn and soybeans. But, you know, it's a band. It was just the midpoint, and it was due for a setback. So now the question is it just kind of a setback here to correct that overbought technical condition, and then the market kind of regroups and takes another run at the high or makes a higher high as we go into the first part of October? Now, that is going to be, and a lot of that may or may not have to do with this September 30th stocks report. Usually stocks reports are kind of already priced into the market, and it kind of explains why the market performed the way it did during the month of September. So since the market has been primarily up during the month of September, it's actually August and September, except for these last few days, I would venture to guess, if I was at the casino, putting money on it, I would say that the stocks reports will probably be considered as somewhat friendly and may not show the stocks on hand as what USDA has plugged in their carryover numbers. Now, whether or not that makes a big difference or not, I don't know, because like I said, usually stocks numbers are already worked in. So, now, every once in a while, we get a surprise, a bigger surprise than what the market is anticipating. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it could be. But my guess is that we're coming in here We're seeing some long profit taking from overbought technical conditions. The long liquidation here, this profit taking should be pretty well complete by early next week. And then we fasten our seat belts, I guess, for the 30th report. And then we'll see whether or not this market can resume to the upside, or if harvest activity has picked up enough and we're starting to get enough hedge pressure to kind of limit that upside momentum. I do know that there's a little bit of harvest going on. I don't think it's big by any means, but we are beginning to see some harvest pressure.
So have you got upside and downside potential targets on both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, I was just glancing on this corrective decline that we're seeing. The market, Dease corn, should find some pretty good support here around this 355 area, give or take 3-4 cents. So I think 350 ought to be good support to kind of, once we get this thing worked off, and then we try to take a run to the upside. Take a look at November soybeans. I think it was down here around probably around 980, 970 is going to be a spot here for soybeans to kind of find support as it works off this technical condition. But we don't have to necessarily go down to those levels, but that's what technicians will initially look for in a pullback, is about a 38% retracement of this advance that we've had off of our early August lows. So I think that's probably where we're headed. If we can stabilize at those areas and regroup, then I got this market trying to maybe take a run could maybe go all the way into the first part of November, or maybe election year rally. So a lot of that will depend upon, of course, the October report and what kind of acreage adjustments we get in that report. Usually there's a surprise somewhere along the line, whether or not we have that this year or not. But I think we'll see what kind of whether or not we'll get this thing completed by early next week or before the end of the month. And then I think so all of the week longs, or the longs that wanted to take profits before the end of the quarter or before the end of the stocks report, will be out of the way. So then the market then would be ripe, I think, then for a recovery then from this corrective decline that we've had.
Yeah, this is the fun time of the year because the combines begin to roll. You see yields coming in from the field, USDA, of course, crop production numbers and objective yields being taken for it, and they all pile in together at the same time. So I guess there's just a whole lot of fundamental news to come into the marketplace, and the best we can do is to take a look at where some of the technicals tell us it might go. I appreciate you doing that. Is there one technical that you're watching at the moment that you think is more important than any others?
Oh, not really. There's about a group of them I look at, and they all kind of are indicating the same thing. The thing that is scary is, and you've heard me say it before, 8 out of 10 or 17 out of 20 years, September is a down month. So unless things really decline hard or between now and the end of September, we're going to close out the month higher. So that is a counter seasonal decline. And then we normally make at least some kind of interim harvest low. A lot of times beans make their low. That's going to be more permanent during the first 10 days of October. Corn kind of makes an intermediate harvest low during the first 10 days of October. Beans kind of make that low and then begin to slowly climb higher as you go through the fall. Corn sometimes comes down and makes another secondary harvest low around December deliveries. Whether or not that's a lower low or holds above the October low, we kind of, it depended upon on the year. So it's real important here. I always get nervous with a fall rally like we've had, and it's been driven by, you know, supply tightening because the crop has kind of gotten smaller due to some adverse weather conditions. And then we've had a huge export demand. I mean, we had another huge round of export sales here this morning. So we kind of had the demand story that was kind of underlining this market. And then we kind of shortened up the crop, or we took the top edge off of it. Now we'll see whether or not how short this crop really is, and whether or not it's going to be short enough to sustain these prices and even build on it. So it's really tricky in here. I'd say if I was to be given odds, there's probably a 50% chance that we've seen our fall high, but that means that we still have a 50% chance that we could make a higher high. So, but we are beginning to tilt the scales as time goes on, more and more that this market could run out of steam this fall and then move into some kind of winter low.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Okay, very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. The address is WILLAG.org. Or look us up in your favorite podcast applications, including SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcasts, too. In today's agricultural news, you know Illinois grain farm income is looking better. There are three reasons for corn and soybean farmers to be more optimistic about making some money this year. University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnitke says it starts with yield.
USDA is projecting a 203 bushel per acre yield for corn in Illinois. That is the second highest yield ever. The highest yield happened in 2018, and it was 210. So we raised our corn yield to 230 in our Central Illinois budgets, and that, just to give you a feel, was 237 in 2018. Similarly, soybeans are looking better, and we put our yields at 2020 at 72 bushels per acre for high productivity land in Central Illinois.
And price times yield equals the gross income. Now, yields are expected to be very good in Illinois, and price, while not great, is getting way better. Gary Schnitke says he used USDA's latest season's average cash price in the updated budgets. USDA has the national cash price for corn at $3.50 and soybeans at $9.25 a bushel.
We typically see higher prices in Illinois than the U.S. average. So we're now using $3.55 for corn and $9.30 for soybeans for 2020. That is obviously up considerably from a month ago, and the derecho storm in Iowa, as well as hot, dry weather, contributed to that, as well as a continued strong export demand, particularly to China.
Government payments make up the final portion of the income picture. When all of the payments are added together, it pushes gross corn income to $885 per acre and soybeans to $707. As Schnitke says, round two of the coronavirus food assistance, or CFAP, payments make a big difference. At $48 an acre for corn, it pushes the budget from a loss for corn to a $39 an acre profit. The soybean profit is projected at $79 per acre, of which $17 is attributable to CFAP.
Incomes look better than they did earlier the year. CFAP payments are important, obviously, but those yields, getting higher yields at the same time as higher prices than we thought we were going to have, is going to make incomes look better this year than we thought in July.
In July, University of Illinois had projected farmers would lose $32 on every acre of corn produced on highly productive Central Illinois farmland and make about $42 an acre on soybeans. The September budget update, the CFAP 2 payment announced last week, has put both of those numbers in the black. Well, it appears CFAP payments to farmers are likely to be made very quickly. An ag economist at the University of Illinois has done some of the calculations. The farm payment rates from the Trump administration are based on the price decline for the harvest time futures contract between mid-January and late July, with a minimum row crop payment for corn and soybeans of $15 an acre. University of Illinois agricultural economist Joe Jansen says the decline is largest by percentage for corn.
So if we look at sort of typical yields for Illinois, we find that that $15 an acre floor is unlikely to be binding, especially for corn. So at a 200 bushel an acre yield, we're looking at a $46 an acre payment for corn. At 60 bushel an acre soybeans, you're looking at $19 an acre for soybeans. So maybe a little bit closer to that payment floor, but still, you know, still well above it. So we expect that $15 an acre would be a floor that probably won't be reached, especially for corn.
CFAP 2 payments apply to bushels produced and marketed in 2020. The payment is based in part on normal marketing weights used in USDA season's average cash price forecast. Farmers generally have about 40% of the corn crop sold and delivered by the end of December. The CFAP 2 payments will be individualized by farm and based off the APH. Sign up is happening now at local FSA offices. If you have not filled out the census yet, now's the time. There are just a few days left to be counted. Filling out the census is super simple. Just visit census.gov on any device and hit respond. The census is taken by home address. If no one at your address has already filled out the census, Zach Kennedy from Illinois Extension says it's pretty likely someone will knock on your door to make sure you get counted.
Between now and the end of the month, the census takers will be making in-person visits to the households who have not yet responded to the census. The census takers will ask the census questions and then they'll record the responses. And we really encourage folks to cooperate with the census field takers should they receive a visit from one of them.
It would, however, be much easier across the board if a member of your household filled out the census online. As of early September, it is believed about 92% of Illinoisans had been counted. That number is made up of 22% in-person counts and 70% online responses. Go to census.gov to fill out your response. Let's check in now with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net. He's on the combine cutting beans there in Shelby County near Windsor, Illinois this afternoon. Thanks so much for taking time out of a busy day. How are things going for you?
Going really well, actually. We picked some corn there last week, got along great, tried some beans actually Sunday afternoon into Monday, and we're surprised, you know, that they were able to test like they were. Cutting a lot of beans this week with leaves on them that are testing 11 and 12. And so, they're hard cutting. Some of them aren't necessarily maturing evenly, but been pleasantly surprised with yield.
So you said your corn yield was good, mostly, and there were a few spots. Soybeans better than you expected, as well as you expected earlier in the year? I says maybe not, but how does it compare to what you thought you might have?
Yeah, that's a great point, Todd. I'd say as of August 1st, I'd probably be a little disappointed with the yield. As of 6 weeks of dry weather, actually, I didn't think they'd yield what they were going to yield. So they've been pretty darn good. I think that we're going to be above APH on most of the fields we've been on so far. And so we feel pretty good about the way our bean yields are stacking up to this point. Now, these were all planted early in April, actually the first week of April. So I think that maybe we built enough of a plant quick enough, you know, that maybe the August lack of rainfall didn't hurt us as much as maybe we thought it was going to earlier in the year.
In Chicago, the soybeans have turned around and are headed down for the last day and a half, couple of days or so now. What happened this morning in Chicago?
Well, you know, essentially, I think there's a fair amount of profit taking. They're talking about open interest was down a little yesterday. you know, I think people have looked at this bean market and said, you know, we had huge exports. We knew they were coming, though, because of all the daily export sales that we continued to watch. And so, you know, when you come in here today and you don't get any surprise announcements, I think that there's a fair amount of folks looking at beans as maybe they've gone up enough for the time being, especially once you get into the thick of harvest. So we know there's going to be a lot of hedge pressure. A lot of producers are going to look at the price of beans, and maybe they were lethargic in making sales. Well, thank goodness, because, you know, if you've got decent yielding beans and you're able to sell them anywhere close to $10 basis the board, you've been handsomely rewarded for that.
And your expectations for the corn market over the next couple of weeks as we start to get into the gut slot of harvest?
I'm super interested in the quarterly stocks numbers next Wednesday for final stocks. I think that you'll see a similar adjustment to what we saw last year and maybe go down a little bit, but we are getting into harvest. So expecting any sort of huge rally due to that kind of information might be asking for a little too much.
Anything on the local side that you think of as is of interest and that we should note?
Oh, okay. Yeah, local basis. The interesting thing, you know, is that we continue to see deterioration. So, you know, at one of the processors that we started hauling to, we've actually seen over a 20 cent drop as far as their basis is concerned just in the last week or so. And so, you know, as far as the basis, you have to know that we were super tight going into harvest, especially with the kind of crop that the USDA said we were still holding on to from last year, or stocks, if you will. And so basis is bound to go away as people are able to nose out and get into the thick of harvest. And I think that's a trend we're going to see continue here over the next couple weeks.
Hey, thanks so much. Good luck on the machine this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us from the Combine this afternoon there in Shelby County near Windsor, Illinois. Let's take a look at the weather forecast as we close out our time together now. Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather in Chicago is traveling today. In the state of Illinois, the high about 78 and sunny skies today. It'll stay that way mostly through Sunday, where we'll have a bit of a rainfall potential. An 82-degree high on Sunday, a low there at 56. And Monday, another potential rainfall event. And then we'll turn back to sunny skies, a bit cooler starting next week. 66 on Tuesday, 60 on Wednesday, and 59 on Thursday under partly sunny skies. Lincoln, Nebraska, sunny skies, highs in the upper 80s to lower 90s for the week until we get to Sunday. Things will drop off, but they don't have any rainfall in the forecast at all. Their highs Sunday through Thursday next week in the upper 60s to low 70s, and their lows are in that 47 to 55 degree range. In Minneapolis, 77, maybe some rainfall today. Then sunny skies through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, potential rainfall. They also drop off in their temperature on Sunday down to 69 degrees. Monday 64, 58 on Tuesday, and Wednesday 54. Their lows are 50, 48, and 45 through that period. Fargo, North Dakota, 76 for a high today, 76 tomorrow, partly sunny. Saturday, 71, and then that cold sweeps in, 61, 65, 56, and 53 through Wednesday. They'll have some chances of rainfall through part of that. In Manhattan, Kansas, it'll be a little warmer, but they too on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday begin to get a bit cooler. Their high is 73 on Monday and 67 on Thursday of next week. Tomorrow and Saturday, though, they'll have a high of 91 and a 95-degree high, respectively. And that's a look at the weather forecast. Of course, you've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.